I would invite you to take a Bible and turn with me to Exodus chapter 34. Exodus chapter 34. Be reading verses 29 through 35. In the Pew Bible, it's on page 77. Exodus 34, 29 through 35. Moses came down from Mount Sinai. As he came down from the mountain with the two tablets of the covenant in his hand, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because he had been talking with God. When Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, the skin of his face was shining, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the leaders of the congregation returned to him, and Moses spoke with them. Afterward, all the Israelites came near, and he gave them in commandment all that the Lord had spoken with him on Mount Sinai. When Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would take the veil off until he came out. And when he came out and told the Israelites what he had been commanded, the Israelites would see the face of Moses, but the skin of his face was shining. And Moses would put the veil on his face again until he went in to speak with him. Popular song of the 1960s was entitled Smiling Faces. Some of you may remember that song. The chorus went like this: smiling faces, sometimes they don't tell the truth. Smiling faces tell lies, and I got proof. And one of the verses continues, the truth is in the eyes, because the eyes don't lie. Amen? Remember, a smile is just a frown turned upside down, my friend. Let me tell you now. Smiling faces, sometimes they don't tell the truth. Smiling faces sometimes tell lies, and I got proof. The eyes, the face. So many times they belie different things that may or may not be hiding within us. Sometimes we use those faces to try and hide what's going on around us. A few years ago, I was reading something that a friend sent about how to drive people crazy, especially at work. Some of you have probably seen some of these things. I kind of like some of them. Like page yourself and then answer the page in a different voice. Or put regular coffee in the decaf pot and decaf in the regular pot and then watch what happens during the day. But another way that they said to drive people crazy, especially at work, is to smile all the time, no matter what, because it makes people wonder what you've been up to. How many times do we wonder when we look in someone's face? Maybe they're smiling, maybe they're frowning. How many times do we wonder what is going on behind that face, within that mind, within that heart? How often do we hide behind that face? That facade, a smile or a frown. And remember, a smile is just a frown turned upside down. Today's text speaks, I think, to the issue of what our expressions are to be and what they are to say about us, especially when we find ourselves in the presence of God, and then move from there into the presence of others. Now, this particular text is after the Hebrews have worshipped the golden bull and have been wandering around until Moses brings them back into God's presence at Mount Sinai. You will recall earlier, while Moses spent 40 days and 40 nights on the mountain, receiving not only the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments, but also many of the covenant codes by which they were to live their lives. But the people had partied around the bull and probably thrown around a lot of bull. And when Moses came back down and knew that only Aaron could have done this, how Aaron made a face. Or at least I imagine he probably did. When Moses approached him about building this golden bull around which these people had worshipped and partied, Aaron probably had an incredulous look on his face. Who? Me? And then as Moses said, "I know that you did it, Aaron," I imagine Aaron probably poked his lip out, and then he sought to place the entire blame. Well, you know how these people are. And you know how they whine and cry and fuss. And what else was I to do but take all the gold earrings and throw them in the fire? And lo and behold, out walked this calf. Talk about bull. In that encounter, God had told Moses that God was going to destroy the people but make a great nation out of Moses and his descendants. But Moses spoke on behalf of the people. Moses pleaded with God and convinced God to let them live. So God says, go out, take the people, wander around for a while, and then bring them back. So they wander around for about a chapter or so. And then they come back for a renewal of the Ten Commandments, the Decalogue. So as chapter 34 begins, Moses goes back up on the mountain, Mount Sinai, the mountain of God, and he cuts stone tablets on which the law is to be written again. Because remember, when he came down the first time, he got so mad, he threw them down and they broke. Of course, they had already been broken, but they broke. And so the Ten Commandments, or the Decalogue, is given to him again, but with some more specific instructions and prohibitions attached. And beginning in verse 29, after Moses has received these once again, after God gives the people a second chance, Moses comes down off the mountainside, armed with the new commandments, armed with a renewed sense of God's presence and favor. He evidently forgot his sunscreen, because the text says that when he came down before the people, his face was shining brightly because he had been in God's presence. Where before the people had simply seen Moses' anger at what they had done and had been afraid, in this instance, they're afraid again, but for a different reason. This time they're afraid because they recognize that Moses truly has been in the presence of God, and that that evidence is on his beaming face, a face, the text says, that shone so brightly that they were afraid to come near, shone so brightly that later Moses put a veil over it. Moses had been transformed or transfigured by the Shekinah of God, the light of God's divine presence. And not only had it shone on him, but it had permeated him and now was showing forth out of him as he brought them God's message, God's instructions for how they are to live. This transfiguration is not only a sign and a seal for the divine origin of the Ten Commandments, and that is part of it, but it was something that Moses couldn't hide. While sometimes we may hide things behind a facade, including feigned rapture, we cannot hide when we've truly experienced God's presence. It's something that we cannot cover up when God truly has entered us because we have been in God's presence. I mention feigned rapture because some seem to be able to suddenly and on the turn of a dime place that smile on their faces, one that disappears as easily as it appears. But that wasn't the case with Moses. The glory of God, the glory of being in God's presence, was so much a part of who he had become at that point that when he was not standing before God and not proclaiming before the people, it still shone on his face. And to keep the people from being afraid, he would cover that over because it was something that even with the veil, they knew was there. But at this point, Moses seems to be completely unaware initially. Unaware that the glory of his encounter with God has effected such a change. A change in not only his face, but a change in his persona to the point that everyone recognizes it very easily. The presence is genuine. It is not a mask that is easily whisked on and off. Moses seems to have a certain holiness around him beyond what Aaron had experienced, beyond what the other people had experienced. And they shy away. It's interesting, the word used here when it says that his face shone occurs in only two other places in the entire Old Testament. This particular word only appears in Psalm 69, verse 31, and in Job chapter 3, verse 4. The root word is the word for horns, and sometimes, I don't know if you've seen them, but sometimes painters in the Renaissance period would paint Moses coming down off the mountain with horns behind his head. That didn't mean that he was devilish. In Job, though, it doesn't speak of horns. It's not translated as such. This word to shine means rays of light protruding out. Kind of like horns. Only rays of light or flashes of lightning protruding. In other words, there is a brilliance to such light that causes wonder and awe, and Moses had that brilliance about him. Now, Moses wasn't always filled with brilliance mentally or even in the things that he did. You will recall, if you think back, that there were times that Moses showed his anger, and Moses even took credit for something God had done, and that kept him out of the land of Canaan. But still, there was that brilliance that let everyone know that Moses was God's person and God's child. Eventually, Moses convinces the leaders and then the people to come close and hear what God has to say. And they pay attention because there is evidence that Moses really has been in God's presence and has experienced something special. How many times have you seen such a presence within other people? Sometimes it's in a time of corporate worship when we gather together and you can just see that shining out from someone's face. At other times it may be on the face of someone on a bed of sickness and pain. When their total reliance upon God suddenly shines out like a divine light. I don't know if you've experienced that or not. I've seen it numerous times around hospital beds and in other places. Sometimes it is experienced in the kindness and the humility that folks show. One young child one morning said, "You know, Grandma must sleep in heaven at night because she's always so happy at breakfast." That presence was shining through, even first thing in the morning. Moses faces God with his head uncovered, totally open to God's piercing vision, and open to God's leadership. He doesn't seek to hide behind a facade or under any pretense. As his face shines with the light of God's divine glory within him, Moses will veil himself unless he's speaking with God, trying not to scare everyone and trying not to have people think this is just a front. But even then, the presence of God shone forth. I venture the possibility that Moses veiled his face so that people wouldn't put him on a pedestal as well, thinking he was greater than anything they could ever aspire to be. For you see, he was still all too human. And every one of them could aspire to have the same presence of God shine in and around and through them. Even in Moses' frailty, though, there was no way to keep secret the presence of God. And that presence of God and being in God's presence made a great difference in his life. For you see, the genuine light of God's grace shone through. So what do people experience when they encounter us? When they look at you and me, what do they find? Do they find something that is beyond what they think they can reach and therefore turn away? Are they afraid? Or perhaps maybe we're afraid to really think about and answer the question. For you see, if we regularly approach God as Moses did, and the text continues that Moses would still approach God and unveil his face so that God could shine through and shine within him. If we regularly approach God and allow God's glory and presence to penetrate us and to permeate us and to lead us, then the light of God's divine presence is something that we cannot hide. And it will shine with us and through us even when we are unaware, even when we do the small things. Some of you may have noticed hanging up today in a few places, or maybe in your Sunday school class, or maybe out on the front table in the foyer, this piece of paper that says Deacon Ministry Teams 2006-2007. About a year and a half ago, we attempted to make some changes in the way we do our ministry here. And I want to mention to you, as we talk about God's grace shining in and through Moses and in and through us, this ministry team concept. We have numerous teams. They're not just for the deacons, but there are deacons that head up those teams. Such things as hospital visitation ministry team, homebound ministry, bereavement ministry, visitor and prospect outreach ministry, inactive member ministry, prayer ministry, celebration ministry, transportation ministry, audiovisual ministry team. There are deacons who head these up. But it's not just for the deacons to do. For you see, the deacons are not the only ones that stand in God's presence or have that opportunity. Each and every one of us have that opportunity. And what we wish and what we desire is that folks will feel a call to serve in some of these areas along with those deacons, so that it's not just the deacon ministry, but it is our ministry together. And so if you feel that God would lead you to assist in one of these areas, please let us know. Please let the deacons who are chairing these teams know. Write your name on one of these sheets of paper so that we can know that you are willing to serve. There are already some other folks' names that are on here who said, yes, I feel that I can serve in this area and step up and be God's shining presence, even in my own sense of inadequacy or frailty, because I have stood in the presence of God and I can no longer hide it. And so I challenge each one of us to think about this, to pray about it, and to look at these teams and to say, yes, I've been in God's presence and I will let that shine and not hide it. For you see, like Moses, we must visit with God openly and let God speak freely to us. And hopefully and prayerfully, I think that we will find, instead of smiling faces, sometimes they don't tell the truth. Shining faces, oh my, they do share the truth. Sharing the truth with each other. Sharing the truth of God's gracious and caring presence with all of those around us. Shining faces. Shining faces. Would you join me in prayer? Our gracious God, touch us. Shine upon us. And then shine through us. May the rays of your glory be something that we cannot hide, and something that we do not try to hide, but rather that we let shine through, so that others will know and be drawn not to us, but to your glory and to the light of your divine presence. We ask these things and we offer ourselves to you. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Our hymn of decision is hymn number 597. Take my life and let it be consecrated. As we sing, may this truly be our prayer and our commitment. Our altar is open. It is open for any who would make a profession of faith in Jesus as Lord and Savior. It is open to any who would join with our fellowship to minister from here. It is open for any who would come and recommit themselves to being shining faces with God's presence. Hymn number 597. Take my life and let it be consecrated.